All right, the Audible's on the air. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We've got a full house here inside the bubble. John Congemi with me. A.J. Dewey, former teammate.
What's up,
good
Jay?
Being with you guys,
good
man.
Friend for a long, long, long time.
Haven't seen you in a while. Haven't been on the show
back
in a while.
Here. Got,
hope I remember the program.
It's Senior Bowl time, and I thought it would be a good time to bring A.J. in and talk about that. Got a lot of stuff going on in the Senior Bowl. Really got underway yesterday, John. The guys came in early in the week, Monday, went through all the physical stuff, the measurements and all that stuff. And yesterday really I think was the first day where they got out and got to work in the practice field. And Baker Mayfield came a little late because he had a little family situation. I guess the situation with Baker, his mother's sick.
Right.
He may be leaving at any moment if things turn worse for her. But as it is right now, he's there. He's with the Vance Joseph crew that's coaching the Denver Bronco team that's coaching, I don't know, in the North team practice. And also Josh Allen, the kid from Wyoming, is there. So there's a lot of good stuff going on. AJ, I think you and I are, and John, we're all kind of in that same boat. I love watching this stuff. I know you said you were watching some of it on SportsCenter, where you saw
NFL Network. I saw some interviews by Mike Mayock. I think he's world class at what he does. I really appreciate and like his information that he puts out to fans.
You know, the thing about Mike Mayock, and we've run into him along the way traveling around, and he may be doing a game or something, and I guess we used to do Thursday games whenever. And so I've had an opportunity a couple times to meet, usually in the hotel bar, you know, kind of sitting there having a couple cocktails and talking. And Joe knows him real well because he has him on the show. But it's always funny about guys like him and who's the ESPN's guy? He's been doing it forever. Guy with the hair.
Oh, I don't know.
The Mel Kiper.
Oh, for the draft.
The draft guy.
Okay, yeah.
The draft guy. I'm sorry, Mel
Wait
Kiper.
A minute. That could be the first time that Leon actually yelled something that made sense.
It was right.
That was right. It was bang on.
But both of those guys, to me, you know when you run into a guy and you know he knows what his stuff?
Right.
You don't have any notes. Say, hey, how about that guy? And he just starts spewing out names and information. Well, you know that arm's a little weak. You know, he's good from 10 to 12 yards. When you get him to that 14
that percentage yards, goes
he can't
here.
Throw that. But, you know, and it's just coming off the top of his head.
Well, he comes
and
Mayock
is that.
He's got good bend in the hips. You know, he's got the good arm under with the rotation and everything. I mean, he just comes up with all these football terminologies that you, the three of us, kind of know.
And a lot of those guys have made up terminology that has become part of the vernacular.
That is.
You know, eye discipline, you know,
right.
All these different kinds of
setting
things.
Setting the edge, climbing the pocket, you know, doing all these things. Yeah. You got to get him off his spot. Yeah. You know, you get a lot of those.
So John, as we kind of get going in the Senior Bowl stuff, any guys so far in yesterday's practice kind of jump out, or anybody you're looking at with the – and not – you know, obviously we're looking at potential guys that may end up being somebody that's on the Dolphins' wish list, or just guys out there that are trying to improve their lot as far as the NFL draft.
Guys, when you talk about the North, and that's where the Denver staff is, and obviously John Elway made sure that when this was organized, he was going to get the two quarterbacks.
Did I see John Elway playing in a PGA tournament this last weekend?
You might have.
I think
so. Out west
at Palm Springs.
Yeah, that's right.
He was playing with John Rahm, I think he was playing with. I saw.
And that's who ended up winning the tournament.
Yeah, but anyway, I digress.
And it's okay. He's a one handicap, Jay, just in case we're trying to check rules and regulations. Elway's a one. So
Jay may make him a plus one
plus
in the tournament.
For Jay.
He's running the show.
Dock him a club or two. So the North had the quarterbacks, right? So you go back and look at Baker Mayfield. He measures out at 6 foot. I don't think height is going to be a problem because it wasn't a problem when you are able to move like he can move and the ball comes out on time. It could be an adjustment going from under center and dropping back, but there's a lot of times that in the NFL you're in shotgun anyway, so you're going to be able to find lanes to throw the football. But the other guy was Josh Allen, and the one thing that jumped off the screen when you saw him was the velocity of his throws and the way it came out of his hand. I think that's a different type of cat throwing the football. Now, is he as polished? Has he faced a lot of different defenses that in big games that were specifically designed to stop him? Not really, because he probably got away with a little bit more raw ability playing the teams that he played in the conferences that he was playing against. But you have to give him in that setting and see how he reacts, see how he reacts to learning new systems, learning the verbiage coming from the quarterbacks and coming from the sidelines. You know, no boards with, you know, pictures of Madonna on it or whoever's going to be on the sideline.
Well, he's going to see the speed of the game increase
to this week.
Yeah, this week. So he's going to get his first taste of, like, everybody lines up that can play at a different level.
And more so for him because he played it at a lower level. You know, he's still a Division I guy, but, you know, Wyoming. And that, I think, is what the intrigue with everybody about Josh Allen. Look, you played at this level. We want to see if you can perform the same way at the next step up. And this, you know, going into the pros is another step up, but this is certainly a step up in
the
competition
for him to see
how he can go.
Well, it's the best of the best.
Yes.
You know, you're going to look out and you're going to recognize the logos on somebody's helmet.
Yeah.
You know, when you look around, you go, I remember that guy. I remember watching him play.
Right. Yeah.
You know, he was at LSU. He was at Ole Miss. He was at Alabama. He was at Georgia. He was, you know, somewhere else where you go, I wish I had that opportunity, but now I do.
Yeah.
And now let's see how you go.
I'll tell you the other thing, Jay. Now, AJ played in the Senior Bowl.
MVP.
I played in the Senior Bowl. MVP of the Senior Bowl. But interesting, Joe, AJ, you played under the Dolphins staff with Don Shula.
That was a good, review for me to be in front of an organization that eventually drafted me.
Yeah, so there's a situation where you've got Denver, who's in dire need of a quarterback. They've got Josh Allen. They've got Baker Mayfield. I don't know who else is in their stable there in the quarterbacks. But anyway, they've got the two quarterbacks that are probably going to be top 10 guys. If not
Falk,
top five against
Washington State,
depending on how far. What was it about you when you went and had them for your coaching staff? You didn't know you were going to be drafted by them, but eventually they did draft you. How much do you think being there at the Senior Bowl helped you become a member of the Miami Dolphins because they were the staff that coached you there?
I think it had a lot to do with it because, you know, I went there kind of with the attitude that this is my chance to have a breakout week. I was on time for all my meetings. I worked hard at every snap in practice. Sometimes the offensive linemen weren't, you know, this is a practice. You know what I mean? But you know, I was out there to prove a point. I remember one time, one of the guys we were putting the kickoff team out on the field, and like R2 was missing. You know, and Coach Shula was yelling, "We need R2, R2." And I just kind of go, "I'll go be R2."
Right, right.
And I just went and covered the kickoff. Right. And that kind of like probably. I wouldn't even back up.
Right.
You know,
I'm sure that's something that certainly caught their attention
and
stuck in the back of their heads, right?
So, yeah, that and just, you know, just in like I said, just giving them, giving them 7 days of hard work. I mean, I think they documented, you know, all the guys. Baumhire was in that draft class, and Bob and I, you know, being competitive against each other, being from the SEC, Alabama, LSU, we were competing against each other, kind of like, you know, to show – you know, who's the best defensive lineman out here this week, you know? So that kind of added a little bit of a little mix that kind of helped the two of us stock rise because we were competing, you know, internally against each other.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll give you another angle of it. And so I came the other route. I came from San Jose State, you know, which probably is pretty much on an equivalent level of Wyoming right now, maybe in that ballpark and was back then at the same thing. And the one thing I ran into, the one thing I had to overcome, and really throughout my whole career, it was, you know, I saw coaching. I learned stuff in that week I had never even heard about.
Right.
You know, the coaching. Look, not that the coaching is bad, but the coaching at the lower levels isn't the coaching I got at San Jose State wasn't the coaching you got at LSU.
Okay.
You know, the film study that I learned at San Jose State was non-existent, whereas I'm sure you guys knew about film study.
Right.
Coming out from, you know, so you coming from, you know, it's not only the competition you're playing against,
preparation,
but it's also the coaching and the background that you have and the knowledge and the skill you have coming up. You've got to find
another
your level
key,
there.
Another key thing, Bo, I think that, you know, helped, you know, like Bob and I coming out of the SEC was that facilities. I mean, you know, at LSU, you know, we had world-class training facilities. You know, we had Olympic coaches coaching us to do running drills. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we, even in the off season, we had the ability to be at a different level.
Yeah.
So that's another important.
See, at San Jose State, we had a coach that when the scouts came to time us, he'd say, "I'll get him at the start." You get the start, he goes, "Take about a half step extra." <You know? laughs>
The line's not the line, kid.
Line's not the line. Put your feet on the line. You know, it was one of those kind of things.
You start on the line.
Hey, kid, don't worry.
I ran a guy goes, "Hey, I ran a 4.5. So, yeah, I only run 39 and a half yards.
Don't worry, I gave Mar stopwatch.
I think, for the kid, Josh Allen.
Right.
Climbing that ladder, trying to, you know, and showing those guys that, hey, because I know when I went to the Senior Bowl, I played linebacker, defensive end, and tight end. There were three different. I was going to get drafted one of those. And I remember they stuck me as a tight end. The terminology was like, I'm like, whoa.
Just tell me
where
to go.
First of all, I've never been an offensive. You know, I was in junior college. I played a little tight end, and so the terminology was like just swimming in my head, and I had no idea what the hell was going on. Lex Rex. I go,
first thing. This kid from Wyoming, Carson Wentz, you know, came out of what?
Well, that helps.
North Dakota State, yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, like when this kid was coming through, and you know, all of a sudden, as you're leading up to the draft, you know, they're targeting him now as they picked him in the top, you know, eight or so at first. I'm kind of going,
Wentz?
Wentz. Yeah. Let me start doing a little research on this guy. This guy's the real deal.
And I tell you the thing about we were in Philadelphia early in the season. Went up and the Dolphins practiced against them for 3 days and then played a preseason game. So every day after practice, I would go and listen to Carson Wentz, you know, his press conference. And I tell you what, you know about him, impressed. This kid was a smart kid, football IQ off the chart. You know, he's a Christian kid, and he wears it on his sleeve, and just nice to everybody, polite, speaks well. He had the whole package.
But he can sling it.
And he can sling it. Yeah. So I think, I think if you're in the league and you're looking for a quarterback and he's a guy, I think Carson Wentz is the guy you measure him against.
And we talked about this before the show with Mason Rudolph, who was hurt, had the boot on it, Oklahoma State. He talked like he was in the meetings all day.
Right.
You know, he had the terminology, he had the confidence, he had the desire, it felt like, to do well and can't wait to get back healthy so he can show his proofs, not only from his film, but in the combine and in his pro day workout. So there's a lot of those guys. You mentioned terminology. A lot of these quarterbacks, I think that's going to be the toughest thing for them this week. Not learning the plays, but being able to listen to it in their ear and then regurgitate that in the huddle to the players, because Mike White was one of those guys. They're all playing that high octane, high tempo, no huddle offense.
Yeah.
So they're getting in the line, they're looking at the sidelines, and they have a play within 3 seconds because 10 coaches are telling 11 guys what to do.
Yeah.
So yesterday it was great because Bill O'Brien's given a play to Mike White, who went to USF, transferred to Western Kentucky. So now he's in the game at the Senior Bowl. He said, hey, let's go Ziggy, 126 Lex, X corner, Y shake, or whatever it was, right? So he's walking from Bill. He walks over, then he walks back and goes, "You give me that one more time." And Bill's kind of laughing. Well, he's giving him the play again, but he had to do it, maybe three times.
Well, that's the other thing too, John. When I look at terminology now in this league, Jay, you remember like running play, toss 28.
Yeah.
38 or 34
blast,
straight.
Right.
P10. 37 trap, 38 trap, whatever.
Half-back short option.
Now I listen to terminology, and it's like it's two paragraphs. I mean, it's two sentences, you know. And everything's
there's very few numbers,
It's all
– it's a word.
Minnesota,
Minneapolis.
Cluster,
is a,
Minneapolis, Omaha, Zone, Texas. How do you remember all this stuff?
You guys are on quarterbacks, but I'm going to miss, this coming up to the draft is going to be the John Gruden quarterback.
That was really good.
I used to love that.
That was really good.
Always good. Hey, before we go on, I got to get to something here. This was just announced yesterday. NFL builds on its commitment to social justice with the debut of a new campaign, announcement of player owner committee. Let's Listen Together initiative will highlight ongoing engagement efforts among players, owners, law enforcement, and civic organizations to improve communities. I think it's just an opportunity for NFL players, coaches, and everything to integrate with people that are quite frankly protecting us around our cities. As part of the ongoing work to support the players, the NFL today announced a joint player and ownership commitment focused on social justice. A campaign, Let's Listen Together, launches today. It includes a multi-layered rollout, including digital content, brand spots highlighting the player-led work on social and racial equity. The platform will also include social media support, as well as individual letters from players and owners sharing their stories and personal reasons for making social justice a priority. The working group committee includes Cardinals owner Michael Bidwell, Falcon owner Arthur Blank, Cleveland owner Jimmy Haslam, Jag owner Shahid Khan, Stephen Ross, the Miami Dolphins owner, New York Jets offensive tackle Kelvin Beachum, NFL legend Anquan Boldin, Josh McCown, Jets quarterback, cornerback Josh Norman from the Redskins, and E.S. Williams, NFL legend. So there's a number of people that are involved in this. The NFL Foundation is also launching a new grant to, for active and retired players. That's you and I, Jay, retired, not active, who develop social justice programming or partner with nonprofit organization commitment to this work. Similar grant will be open for club foundations later this month. And I mentioned Stephen Ross involved. This is what he had to say. I felt it is important to continue to advocate for the issues that are important to our players, specifically social justice. I know what our players have done in the community on a year-round basis, and there is nothing more American than what we are advocating for, equal rights and justice for all. With our continued efforts through RISE and the funding to individuals and organizations that further the principles of community engagement, education, and justice reform, our vision is to use the unifying power of sports to bring people together. That from Stephen Ross. Ross, you know, is the founder of the Ross Initiative in Sports for Equity, or the RISE program, that really has been out now for a couple of years. So, Jay, it's nice to see that the league and everyone else, with everything that's going on, continues to reach out to the community and do the right thing. And I think the Dolphins this year, and I got to give Michael Thomas and Kenny Stills a lot of credit. They're two of the guys that chose to, you know, to demonstrate the way they wanted to demonstrate at the national anthem. But in the meantime, away from the game, during the week, they would go out on rides with the police. They would interact with people in the inner kids in the inner city, saying, "Hey, you know, once you get to know the police, to reach out and try to bridge that gap between the inequities in the inner city with what's going on now." And so I think it's a nice situation, and certainly nice for the NFL and Miami Dolphins, driven by Stephen Ross, always in the forefront of that type of thing. AJ,
well, I mean, I kind of get how players, you know, have a position and they want to do what's right for the community, do what's right for just people, social justices. I think that I hope next year that the kneeling of the national anthem is
kind of
put to bed. I mean, and guys can kind of go forward with these programs. Well, that
maybe
the ownership,
president would keep his mouth shut every now and then. That would happen.
Yeah, but I mean, he does talk out of two sides of his mouth, yeah, and both of them are wrong most of the time. But, you know, I mean, he's doing a lot of good things for our country, but let's not get into politics. Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, I just think that, you know, players, you know, they believe in certain things. I believe in certain things as an alum, as a fan, as just a parent. So we just got to, you know, do what's right for our country and just try and keep football and politics away from each other.
All right, let's go ahead and get some of these questions. Periscope from I got game. NJ from New Jersey. There you go. Bo, John, and AJ, when was the last time the Dolphins played in the AFC Championship game? They played against the Buffalo Bills. I think Thurman Thomas just caught another screen pass in the game. And that was, I'm not sure when that was. That had to be, Leon, can you get my crack research staff of Leon in there? We'll be off the air in about 15 minutes, so you might not get that information by then.
That probably had to be in like 90.
Yeah, I was going to say 96.
Yeah, 90, no, that long.
Well, Thurman Thomas was there. That had to be 96.
95, 96.
95, 96. That's what I'm guessing.
But I thought the last AFC Championship game might have been when they lost to the Patriots, when the Patriots went on to beat the Bears.
To lose to the Bears.
No, that was us. That was us in 80.
But that was
us in 85.
That was the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Right.
And
I just thought that they had lost.
I know they lost to the Bills. No, they lost to the Bills.
They lost to the Bills in that run where the Bills had gone to four straight Super Bowls. So it was somewhere in that run. As I said, our crack staff will have that for us. And sometime by Friday. Periscope at Fanatic. Would it be a good move for the Dolphins to move up in the draft to pick Josh Allen?
They
may not have to. Look, this game is going to go a long way for Josh Allen. I think this may be even more so than the combine, because look, I think from him standing out there by himself, flinging the football around, I think you're going to be impressed by him.
Yes.
Because he has that strong arm. He's a big guy. He's got everything going for you like that. But I think this is more important. You talked about it. You know, his ability to understand terminology, his ability to get a team out there and do what they're supposed to do and understand and make changes. So I think this is probably a big week for him to see whether he's going to be a guy that ends up 15 in the draft or as high as number 5 in the draft.
And it's something to be said, and I don't know if you guys feel this way too, but for a quarterback, especially in a game setting, in a practice setting this week, there's something about tapping a guy and, hey, let's go.
Yeah.
You ready to go? Get in the huddle. Let's go. I got something for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay live. And a defensive guy looking over at a completion going, you know what, I respect that guy.
Yeah.
That guy stepped in and hummed that thing, you know. That went right by my head. I thought I had it, and I didn't.
Yeah.
And you may talk to him as special teams are going on and say, hey, good shot. And that guy kind of brings you along,
yeah,
too. So I think there's something to be said about leading a team from that position,
yeah,
being able to not be charismatic, but being real with the guy,
yeah,
to say, this is what I expect out of you. I need you to go a little bit, you know, I need you to stem that a little higher and take it another 2 yards. Give me some time or break it off because, you know, I don't have that,
yeah,
time. Or doing some things individually that catches your teammates' attention to make sure you're all, you know, trying to go in that same,
yeah,
direction.
The last AFC Championship game, 1992.
So we were
which was the last time Leon was right about anything. So,
well, you know, there's a computer,
there's a coincidence. Oh, Jeff got that.
Oh,
Jeff got,
yeah. Jeff. Let's not give credit where credit's not due.
Hey, AJ, let me ask you this. For you, going to the Senior Bowl, having you played in the SEC, and a lot of SEC guys, I know my year, a lot of SEC guys in that game, and there are always a lot of SEC guys in that game. But how much did you kind of go in and look at guys that you'd heard, or that guy played at USC, or I heard about this guy and that guy? How much did you kind of eyeball guys like that and just kind of what's this guy all,
yeah,
about?
No, I mean, it was a lot. I mean, basically, you know, you looked at the guys that came out that were on the roster that had, you know, All-American,
yep,
credentials,
yep,
you know, guys that were like, you know, MVP. Defensive player of the conference, things like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I played with a guy named Dennis Lick out of Washington, out of Wisconsin. I think he won the Outland Trophy.
Right.
So you're looking at, oh, geez, here's an offensive tackle won the Outland Trophy. This guy must be a beast, you know.
But then again, you know, back in our day, boy, I'll be honest with you, I think those trophies stayed within the Power Five.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it always went to a guy.
Well, the guy stunk. I played against him, and he wasn't very good.
Right.
It's true. I remember there was a guy that. My senior year, we were playing Nebraska. They came in.
Remington?
No, Remington is a lot younger than me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he was.
Come from where?
From Nebraska. Okay. He was a big, massive person, 6'8",
yeah,
almost 3 bills back,
yeah,
in those days. And, you know, I mean, he had the worst feet in the world.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah,
he might have been good if he got a hold,
yeah,
of you. But,
right,
you know, if you had any kind of skill,
yeah,
set to kind of, you know, to understand that, don't go lock up with the,
yeah,
guy, you know, then, you know,
yeah,
so that's the thing. I mean, you know, maybe the guy was good on one-on-one because one-on-one is one-on-one.
Yeah.
But, you know, so if you give the defensive guy
wiggle
room.
Hey, on the other side of that, this was great yesterday at the Senior Bowl. So Mayock and Charles Davis and all going, hey, this guy, Alex Kappa, let's take a look at this lineman,
right,
out of a Division II or Division III, Humboldt State,
right,
Division
right.
II, and he's crushing. He looks like
Humboldt
Hogan.
State.
He's throwing him.
That's a Northern California school.
Bo, he's throwing him over the top rope, right? He's,
yeah,
he's kicking people.
Right,
he's
right.
throwing people. He's stomping people. And I go, let's go live down,
yeah,
to the Senior Bowl practice. And there's a blur that
it's
goes by
WWF.
The left screen, right? There goes, I'm not sure who was at tackle. Oh, that might have been Alex.
Right.
Alex is having a little struggle. Let's,
yeah,
see him on the next one-on-one. Well, that was Alex again,
yeah,
and he was just getting used to,
yeah,
the speed of the game,
right, yeah,
because he got a guy that maybe he's never seen before,
right,
but had played at a different tempo,
yeah,
or a different level, and he, you know, maybe today he'll be much better than he,
yeah,
was
I can't
yesterday.
Run through you, but I can definitely get around you.
It's funny,
yeah,
I remember walking out on the field for the Senior Bowl, and I saw a University of Miami helmet. I didn't know who that was. I'd never,
right,
seen a University of Miami. Because, you know, back then, there was you watched one game on Saturdays.
It was a game
of the week.
Notre Dame
and
whoever else
you got
was
Notre
on.
Dame. It was either Notre Dame, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Texas, or Alabama,
yeah,
and Nebraska. That was kind of the rotation,
right,
on that game. And maybe whoever they played along the way, that was it. So I'd never see it. So I said to some guy, hey, where's that guy from? He goes, that's University of Miami. Oh, okay. I go, where's that guy? He goes, well, that's Florida State. I never even heard of Florida State, you know. So I'm looking at all these guys, you know. So it was neat. It was interesting. It was a fun exercise to go through. But eventually you realize that, like I said, this kid Dennis Lick from the one the Outland Trophy from Wisconsin. I played against him the week before in the East West Shrine game, and I'm lined
up.
How
did you do in the draft?
I got drafted in the first round, but he never stuck around for very,
right,
long. But I remember that game. I go, geez, you know what? I've got to play against the Outland Trophy. And it was in my backyard at Stanford. So I got all my family there. My buddies are there and stuff. And I go, hey, this guy's going to kick my ass here, you know.
But
and
I
after
do
like
think,
four plays, I go, this guy can't even,
yeah,
play.
Well,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I do think, Bo, if you look back in our generation, I think more first round, there were more first round busts back in the day.
Yeah.
Now, nowadays, there's
there's so many eyeballs,
yeah,
on,
yeah,
it, right?
You don't see much of that anymore. You,
yeah,
know? And the good thing is that, you know, they've got, with the collective bargaining agreement, they've gotten all these higher round draft picks, you know, to play under that rookie salary
cap.
So
yeah.
I like the way the league's, you know, taking.
It's not a big as hit.
Yeah,
you
guys,
miss,
the guys,
right,
aren't holding out like you used to.
Right.
Like you held out. Guys aren't holding out anymore.
I had to get a couple lunch money. I had to get some more lunch money.
Guys aren't holding
for
out
lunch money. We were trying
there's
to get
no them. There's no reason to hold out. You know, Joey right. Bosa really was
you're
the last guy we're left.
You're locked in. You know,
yeah,
you're kind of slotted in.
Yeah,
what you're
so what's the
get.
Point? Yeah, right. You know, Periscope. Hey guys, when was the last time the Dolphins were part of the Senior Bowl staff? Was that Tony
Sperano's
staff? I believe
yeah.
so. Yeah, I believe so. I think
that
it was Tony
it.
Sperano, yeah. In fact, I think that's when I got sent there the first time because that's the first time we interviewed Tony there. As was the same with Joe Philbin. I think those are the times I went to the
Every
to the
staff you
Bowl.
Talk to, they say it's so beneficial.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure this year, Houston, because they lost their number one, they
right.
lost their number two, so they're going to be looking at the third
down,
round
down
unless
the
they
road.
Do something
yeah.
as their first pick.
But look, you look at Denver,
well,
and you're saying, man, that's a prime team
absolutely.
Right there to be coaching that group.
That's right.
You just get to be in that environment with them, that, you know, the classroom environment, you know, just talking to people.
Yeah.
You can just – a lot of times in conversations, you can tell, you know, to me, I'm kind of an old school guy. I just want to know where your soul's at. I mean,
right.
you're kind of like, you know, just to kind
yeah,
of –
But you touched on something earlier, AJ, that I think is, you know, you think of these guys on the field. You think of them blocking and tackling. You think of them running routes and catching the ball. You think of them, you know, backpedaling and covering. You think of all those things. And most people don't think about – when they're in that meeting room or what's going on in the locker room or how does a guy handle himself in those situations. And you said something that you know, hey, I was never late. I always made sure I was there on time.
Right.
Well, that seems to be a dying breed in this league anymore, because being late doesn't seem to be that big a deal anymore. Whereas, you know, but if I'm a coach of one of those teams, if I'm looking at a guy, this guy's showing up late to meetings or whatever, that's a black mark in my
right.
book, you know.
Well,
I'm not having any of that.
It comes to the point, too, Bo, where the value of being late, well, what is it going to cost me? Two grand?
Yeah.
You know, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
For me,
but to me,
it's not about the money.
The mindset.
That's the mentality that was never there
right.
before. It was more about, it didn't matter if it was $10,000. The pride or the stigma that you would have for being a late guy or not dependable was worse than the money.
Well,
you'd
that was the old school.
Yeah.
So,
right?
So I know during our era, during our time, you know, it wasn't about the whether you were overweight, you know, whether you missed weight,
right?
If you were late, if you're this or that, you know, and Coach Shula would always stand up and he would tell, hey, this guy was 2 pounds
right.
over. We find, but it was never about the money. It was about him standing up there and pointing you out in front of your teammates. And say and he, you know, hey, oh, I guess it doesn't matter if it doesn't matter if everyone else is on time and you come whenever you. So, you know,
right.
there was always that thought that, hey, you're
peer pressure
you're hurting
one of the guys.
Yeah, you're
right.
hurting.
Yeah.
You show up late, you're hurting 52 other guys in there
right.
that are on time, ready to bust their ass and ready to get the job done.
Right.
And so those are the things that kind of fit
but
in.
Maybe
that.
Today's teams have such a big group of guys who have that.
Yeah.
So in our day, we might have had one or two guys that kind of
did their own thing.
And he
maybe.
Had to crack the whip after, and you know, and he pointed out, and he kind of got everybody on track. But now, when you've got a 52-man roster, and 26 of the guys are like, you know.
And look, and the other thing is too, Jay. These guys are all these OTA. They're working all. They're here all year. That's a long haul for them. I'm not giving them. Look, to me, there's no excuse for ever being late, any time. But certainly in this environment. But anyway, that's neither here.
To be honest with you, Bo, if I were a head coach in the NFL. I might forfeit some of my OTAs, not even bring them in.
Yeah,
I don't know how much you get out of that you
stuff.
Can't get in camp.
No, I don't see what you need.
I really do. I just think that the tax on the players' bodies for 12 months is so great that they need time to just
let me tell you, you know,
completely.
Not for nothing. But if I was running a team, I would push the OTAs. I would push all that stuff back. I'd give my guys 3 months, 4 months.
Don't
off
even want to see you.
Because what I never understood about the programming and the way they program stuff, AJ, would be, you know, all right, you go through OTAs, you go through mini camps, you go through all this stuff, and then a month and a half before training camp, you guys are off. You know,
they give them the wrong time off. Then.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would rather say, look, you're going to get
pinch
off
it later
because we're going to work right
once
up.
We're
going to get 1 week off before training camp.
Right.
That's it. Because I want you to be in top condition,
right.
Not, you know, have gotten in, you get in top condition by May.
And then get out of it.
And then you get out of it.
And stay mentally crisp. So
yes,
right.
exactly.
Right.
Let their minds rest when the season's over and then they burn out, they're exhausted, you know.
Bring them back in May.
Yeah, exactly. Trey 636 from Periscope. You think the Dolphins would benefit from moving up for Raekwon Smith or Quentin Nelson? Raekwon Smith is the linebacker from Georgia, right?
He's pretty good.
I tell
good.
You what, ooh, that kid's good,
he's
man.
He's pretty good.
But we got the kid who got hurt on the
Raekwon
McMillan.
McMillan.
Oh,
yeah,
man,
yeah.
I was looking forward to seeing it. Man,
so was I.
My heart was broken. I, you know, when that happened, I was watching the game. I was talking, you know, Frances, my wife. I said, babe, we may be snake bit this season. Yeah. You know, for something to happen that quick.
Well, no, enough, I'm with you.
I tell you,
you lose Tannehill, you lose Ted Larson right off the bat, and then your first preseason game, you lose your
one of the best outside linebackers I saw all year was from Virginia Tech, and it was Tremaine Edmonds. I think it was Farrell's son.
Farrell Edmonds. That's Farrell Edmonds' son.
He's got a couple kids.
Yeah. This kid was not only one of the best linebackers, one of the best players I've seen.
Yep.
Man, he's going to be an addition to somebody that needs a linebacker that can run and cover and do a little bit of rushing.
Is he playing in the Senior Bowl?
No, he's an under.
He's a junior. Yeah.
I was just at the gym this morning. I ran into Higgy. You know, Higgy had like a 30-minute.
He
had a 30-minute diet. He always has something to say.
That's his godson.
He went off for 20 minutes. But I said, Higgy, I get it, man. He runs a 4.5. He's about 6.5. He's about 250. He can cover. He can do it. I got it, Higgy. Let me get back to my workout here a little bit. But Higgy's his biggest. But yeah, Farrell Edmonds kid.
He's
another
player.
Kid from Virginia Tech. Yeah, he used to be an interesting guy. Michael Dampier from Facebook. Allen sounds highly intelligent and plays in a shotgun. Seems like a nice fit. You got all that out of one day's practice in Mobile, I guess. I just think he's a guy that he's. He looks very similar to the path of Carson Wentz, right?
I think so.
Big guy, all the skills, all the physical skills, this and that. Seems like an intelligent guy, but he's got to go. He's got to knock the blocks down like Carson Wentz did to get in.
I think
to get to where he's at.
The biggest difference is Carson Wentz played in an environment on a team that was championship caliber from the minute he walked on campus.
Yep.
So the expectation was for him was it's a championship or this wasn't a successful season.
Yep.
Where Josh Allen, he had to be the guy to bring that team to notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
He had to bring that team to 6 wins or 7 wins, which would have been a very good season, and then build on that and hopefully – his individual skills stood out enough that guys started getting eyeballs on him and say, this guy's an NFL quarterback.
Yeah. Periscope, Miami Bird 24. What picks do we have? Are we missing a fourth round? Right, so here's what we have. We have one pick in the first round, a pick in the second round, a pick in the third, two in the fourth, none in the fifth, one in the sixth, two in the seventh. That's what our draft order is right now.
Right now we're at 11, correct?
Right now we're at 11.
11.
Yeah.
We pick 11 this year?
11th in the first round.
Well, I didn't know our season was that bad to be 11. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm looking back. I didn't think we would have been that high on the draft ranking.
That's where we are, AJ. The numbers don't lie, man.
I think there
were two coin tosses. I think it was the Raiders and the Jets.
Was there?
There were. I don't know if the Dolphins were involved in the coin toss and ended up third in those three, but they're all with the same record, and I think it's the Jets and the Raiders – won a coin toss
ahead
to get to where they're
at.
But I don't know if the Dolphins were involved.
Raiders are 9.
In the coin toss.
And it's 2-for-2 for Leon today.
So if the Dolphins are 9.
No, 11.
11, I mean, and I said the Raiders are a couple picks before that. Yeah, that would make them at 9, right?
So we could have been as 11, high as 11, 9? 9? Could have been as high as 9. Wow.
You know, he's quick. Leon is quick. You want to think that he just presses buttons. But the cat can add, too.
No. I was throwing the Jets and the Raiders. I gave him a team leeway. I'm not going to give him a free out. I'm not going to give him the free.
He's waving the white flag.
Yeah.
So after the Denver game, when we blew him out, we win the next three. We're in the playoffs. Now we're the 11th pick in the draft. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a swing.
That's a bad swing.
Yeah.
That's double bogey.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly what it went. All right, Jay, man, it's a pleasure having you,
Great seeing you, buddy.
I'm good. You know, I like your programming, but I'm glad I came back.
You're going to have to come back a little bit more in the offseason, kind of join us in here a little bit.
Yeah, I will. Shoot me a text, call me,
jump on the deal.
I'll try and have a little more information, be a little more – storytelling is always good, you know. But
with the Senior Bowl playing in it, I just thought, you know, just the thought of playing in the game, in a game like that, with a coaching staff that ended up drafting you, you know, I know over the years, listening to Coach Shula and listening to the other coaches said, that, you know, it's a reason, one of the reasons that you and Baumhauer ended up here, because what they saw in the Senior Bowl, and that's a huge advantage for that team that gets the opportunity to go in, like you said, Texans. no big advantage to them.
Right. Well, you know, the other thing, it kind of like helped because, you know, Bob and I came in and he slotted us, you know, on the first.
Right.
You know, it almost like during that week and during the draft and everything, the plan was in place.
Yeah.
So we benefited from it tremendously.
No doubt. The other thing I remember, and I've told you this probably 1,000 times, AJ. I remember going to the Senior Bowl, and there was a kid there from Auburn, Rick Telyard. Was he Auburn? You remember that name?
Yeah.
Rick Telyard. He's a nose tackle.
Right.
And the guy was about 5'10", and probably weighed about, you know, 270. And I'm going, what the? It's just a little box. It's a little square box. But I guess he was like an SEC favorite, right?
Right.
He never went anywhere. He never. I don't think he got drafted or anything. But
no.
I always remember that name, Rick Telyard. Because I walk in, everyone's talking about this guy, Rick Telyard. I go, I'm looking, where is he?
He's down
there. He is. Anyway.
You're not going to see any more of those guys in the SEC, though.
No. Not anymore, man. No way. Unless you go to Vanderbilt or go to.
No.
Yeah, everyone's got the
They're
big bodies.
They're pretty big.
Yeah.
It was I did two
He's playing at Hobart.
Vanderbilt games this year.
Yeah.
And those guys look like any other school I went to.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah. It's big time, man. Big time. All right, Jay. Thanks for coming.
All right.
John,
thanks,
Jamie, always
thanks,
a pleasure.
Bo.
I'm Kim Bocamper. We'll be back on Friday. Not sure what time, but we'll let you know. Until then, have a good couple days. Probably 12, 1, somewhere around there. I was 1:20. I didn't know what it was. 12 o'clock, 1, 1:20, whatever. We'll be back on Friday. Have a good couple days. We'll talk to you then.